The whole point of astrology and every one of your practices, the gene keys or the human design, is to get you in your skin, fully embodied, essentially alive. And if it doesn't activate you and get you excited and you feel like something's really cool going on and you're so excited because you're finally getting back to yourself, and that was the best conversation I've had, if that's not happening, you're not having a real astrology session or a real human design. You should finish those sessions. You just spent a whole hour talking about who you are at the deepest level. What is more important?
Actually, something we just didn't catch, but you said we have a lot of connection in our chart, which is nice. You're the first official astrologer we're having on the podcast. You know what? This will be like episode almost 100. So it's about time. So I'm excited for it. And yeah, I mean, let's get down to the nitty gritty here. You know, I've been thinking about talking to a legit astrologist for a while, and I have a lot of respect for your work, everything that you've done. And so one question that I've wondered is, you know, I don't mean this in a demeaning way in any way, but I'm very curious as to how you see this. Sometimes people say that, this is what I've heard, maybe I'm completely incorrect, astrology is more of the personality, and then like the human design and gene keys are more of like the unconscious. Is that completely misaccurate? I mean, how do you see it?
That's fascinating. I've never heard that before. I would say the astrology is the mothership because the gene keys are all based on astrology. Human design is all based on astrology. They have combined and to my point of view, diluted a little bit the sincere entrance of where this began. That doesn't mean it's not useful, but to go to the source to start with and then go study the gene keys and human design makes a lot more sense because you're working with the original ancient tools that are 4,000 years old. Imagine they've passed the test of time. Gene keys happened in the last 10 years right. And the human design right. happened in the last 20 years, 30 years. So they're young compared to the elder here. That's a million years old. That would be me. So rather than, I love the gene keys and I have had Richard on my podcast and I love human design and I've been on many human. And wouldn't you want to be able to understand the fundamental language before you go off speaking random in new spaces? Like get to the base note. And that's what I do.
Very interesting. Okay. So on that note of astrology being older, I do really believe that there is something to the systems that stick around through time because it shows that it works to some respect and that there's a reason why people are still talking about it and it's still relevant. On that note, there are different interpretations of astrology, that being like sidereal, tropical. You know, which system do you find is the most accurate?
They're both very accurate. I happen to, whatever you study, here's my theory, because you're talking about Vedic astrology, which is a completely different system, the sidereal, than the system I use. What I want to say is choose your system, stick to it, get really acquainted, don't dilute. There's a thing with the New Age right now where everyone's studying the Reiki and they're studying the human design and they're studying past lives and they're studying their chakras and there's, and all of that is important because it's a new language. However, you want to stick to one thing and go deep. And that's where mastery begins. Now, not everyone's interested in that kind of, it takes discipline because it gets boring when you go deep into something after a while. And then you have to rediscover it all over again. I happen to be old fashioned. Stay with one system and really give it everything you got. You know, you can dilly-dally to begin with. It's important to be the metaphysical shopper. As a youthful person, I did the same. And then when you find the one that rings you, and it could be the gene keys. I have no judgments. I'm just saying stick to something, go deep, and make it real.
Is that in your chart, though? Can you read that in your chart about yourself that you need to study one thing?
Yes. Yeah, I am one of those people. Yes, you named it. And you have it, too, in your chart. It's the Taurus influence. Yes, I was just noticing that in your chart that you have Moon in Taurus. We have a similar quality here. And that is sincere, completely consistent, follow through, being really responsible, making sure it's real. Yes, I have that in my chart, which is what's made me successful. And you too, because you stick with things.
That's right. And I get it when you say things get boring. And that's the shit that people don't want to do. It's like after the fairyland time where with the anniversary, the honeymoon, whatever the hell you want to call it. And then you're like, okay, It's still here.
This again. That's right. We got to do the dishes. We got to do the laundry, and you got to make sure you get on time. You got to put the gas in your car. There's all these mundane parts of reality. However, when you realize the practice of Buddha, who was a Taurus, was to repeat the same chants, eat the same food, do the same, you know, exact routine, there becomes a well-worn, here's Mr. Buddha over my head, it becomes a well-worn path where you're like, oh, I know this so well, I can go so deep, and I'm so thorough, and you have to pass boredom to get to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like part of that is some people are meant to study many things? Or do you think that everyone should just study one thing just for the discipline of doing it? Because there is so much benefit in the discipline of I'm actually going to commit to something, which I think is another thing, you know?
Well, it's such a great question. It's a profound question. If you're seeking mastery, if in this lifetime you want to really achieve a sense of peace for real, not theory, if in this lifetime you want your body to be healthy and sustained throughout this life, you can't cheat. You can't just suddenly, I'm just going to go do this, and I'm going to change that, then I'm going to have a little bit of alcohol, then I'm going to have a little bit of French fries. And I'm like, all that stuff every day compiled is not discipline. Now, does it matter? Not really, because it's so fun while you're having fun. It's the long view is a particular quality of a soul. An old soul says, this is one of the things that's kind of sad. People say, and it's true, I just want to get off this planet. Well, how do you get off of it? You master it. How do you master it? You stick with something and you get so good at it that you actually reach a level of evolution where you're no longer needed here. That's
and
my
dream.
And you
serve people through that mastery.
And all the way, that is mastery. You always do service.
Mm-hmm. Do you say that's your dream?
Yeah, my dream is that that's funny, isn't it? My dream is that I will have completed my destiny with so much sincerity and so much innocence that when I finish here, they're going to say, what do you want to do next, Deb? And I might come back, knowing me.
I was going to ask if you want to or if you're like, I'm done.
You know that the Dalai Lama's not reincarnating?
I do know that.
He's had 13 yeah. lifetimes. They always know where he's leaving, where he's coming back to. It's kind of remarkable. And he said, I'm done.
Why do you think that is?
He's a Cancer like you. Because if you look around the planet, a lot of things are done. Like we're at the end of an era. That's what's going on in the Middle East. That's what's going on with the climate. That's what's going on with the government. We've saturated and we've exploited and we've consumed so much. Now we have to be taken into a back room and said, new design, please.
Mm. So on that note, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, I'm sure astrology, you know, you've got to look at prediction forecast. That's a part of it, you know?
Well, your Saturn return, do you know about this, Nick?
I do, a bit.
So it's coming in 2026. You're going to start feeling it by the end of 2025. But we're all going to feel, when Saturn goes into Aries for the whole planet, including you particularly, which is what calls forward your warrior. You have to fight this life. I don't know if you probably hate that story as a Libra rising, but you came to fight for love. You came to fight for consciousness. You came to fight people to not fall asleep. You're like, wake up. You're like, and then you're like, oh, sorry, did I hurt your feelings? I didn't mean to.
Yeah, that has been a struggle sometimes in the past, yes.
Because you really did come this lifetime to make a loud, like really an impactful story. And that's what's going to happen on the planet. When Saturn enters Aries, right now we're in Pisces and we're vague. We're like, everybody's confused. Pisces is confused. Everybody's like, wait, are they really having a war? Is this really going on with racism? Are we really having a climate crisis? Like, duh, that's Pisces. Hello. When Saturn enters Aries in 2 years, and you'll be at the forefront of this, we're going to need warriors, beings who are conscious enough to say, okay, you guys, evidence speaks for itself. We're having a fight. We're not getting along with each other. We've completely consumed too much. We have to revisit what are we going to be as a new species because we're dated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you say new age, I'm so curious as to what your definition of that is, you know?
Such a good question. Because when I grew up, we didn't have the new age quite like you guys do. It was really poo-pooed. You know, it's listening to podcasts and hearing about unbelievable conversations. Like, whoever heard of gene keys and human design and numerology? Well, that was ancient. And Reiki and divination cards. These are all new age terms. We didn't have these when I grew up. You couldn't even say the word therapy. When I grew up, if you told somebody you were going to go do therapy or plant medicine, there's a new age term. And you said, I'm going to go, you told your parents, I'm going to go do plant medicine. They would have been like, you're going to eat the trees? Like, what does that mean? But now that new age jargon, that whole conversation, look what's happened.
Look, and then we all,
if I say plant medicine to you, what do you think?
Oh, we think of some ingestibles, you know, something you put into yourself that's a plant. Yeah, that's going to take you for a trippy trip, usually. An advanced, yeah.
That's a new age term. That's all new age. That now, if I say to you microdosing, no one in my entire universe knew those words. Microdosing, nobody knew what anxiety was. We didn't have that term. So this is the symptom of the new age. Now, it's not a bad thing. I'm thankful. However, and many of you in listening to this know the story. If too many times you are taking another class, doing another plant medicine, giving yourself permission to have a timeout so you can relax because you feel like it's so stressful because you've got so much anxiety, that symptom of too many of those things, we lose the plot. Like, why are we taking all this stuff again? Why are we, you're such a wake-up call. You're an alarm clock, Nick. I've looked at your stuff. Like, you came here to go, dun, 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 dun. At a very young age, you woke up. And that's your function, Mr. Saturn and Aries, to wake us up with blunt honesty and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing?
That's a good question. I think the season of my life, especially the last 6 months, has been me realizing, looking at the world and seeing how there's like this specific way of progressing in life that we've been told by society that has been kind of this hustle grind culture, and kind of combining that with compassion for yourself and seeing how can we maybe use some of these metaphysical tools to embody a level of compassion, but still change. Because I think part of the new age is, in my experience, is kind of like this escapism and looking for an answer in something outside of you or something within you. And it's just like, oh, this is just tells me what I am. We're good. We don't got to do nothing. So for me, it's been about compassion for myself. And when I show up with compassion and I add that in, I find that that's when I'm really the most of service and I feel the most aligned.
Exactly. So beautiful. It's so beautiful. If you were all willing to not just flirt with all that, to your point, not just go outside looking for things to flirt with, but actually committed and made a relationship with yourself. That's what astrology is. How do I give people back to themselves? I use the little magic formula of looking at the chart and using all the, you know, the lingo. And then I watch them get taller and more confident and more comfortable in their skin. And then I watch them go take action. So a really good astrology reading should encourage you towards your purpose and help you feel comfortable with what you've already been doing. We are mostly doing our natural rhythms. It's just that we're not confident. That's what astrology is. Astrology gives people confidence. If I say to you, you're not a normal Cancer. You were born at the top. You know this? The sun was at the top of the sky when you were born. You want to show your chart for a minute?
Nope.
Can you share your screen? It's very rare that the sun, when you were born, your mom, it was right during noon. It was right at the height of the day. So it's coming
I
soon.
Lost you for a sec. Oh.
Can you pull up your chart?
Okay. Sorry. I lost you for a sec. I didn't hear what you said, but we're back. You said pull up chart?
Pull up your chart. Yes. I was saying that you're not a normal Cancer because of the nature of your chart, where it was when you were born. The sun was at the very top of the sky. You were born right at the top of the day. Therefore, your sun in Cancer is standing. See where the sun circle and the dot go up to the top at 1:30 in the afternoon, go up to the very top of the chart. Mm-hmm. See where the MC is on that circle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now look at the circle and the dot.
Mm-hmm.
That's called the sun. And you had the sun on the very top of the chart. You were born. This is where the mother is in the middle of the circle giving birth. And where are the planets? Well, the sun was right over her head. So this makes you famous. This gives you fame. This gives you a professional acknowledge. You are going to have a lifetime, I would know immediately, where you're going to use your compassion for all of us, because you'll be seen. You're born with the sun at the top of the sky. It's like everyone's looking. Hi, Nick, you're welcome to planet Earth. You're going to ground for us in the name of honest emotional content. So are you a highly emotional person?
Depends on what you mean by emotional. Exactly. What do you mean by emotional? Because in human design, I'm technically non-emotional. But
see what you are a Cancer. This is so crazy. This is where human design pisses me off. You're a Cancer. You're a Cancer. You came in this lifetime to feel, to be a human example of being able to go through the human dimension of vulnerability, tenderness, loneliness, emotional sensitivity, and not move away from it. How are you doing at that?
I feel pretty good. Yeah, I feel like I'm able to regulate pretty well, but still move through things.
You promised you would feel. So I don't know about human design. I'm just telling you. This chart screams, I came in to touch my heart and then touch yours and see if I can talk about it. Because look, and move over now slightly to the left. See where that was the MC. Go to the right. Sorry, to the right. Go to the right. There you go. See those two planets right there? Just go back up.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah.
Right there. So you've got Mars and Venus in Gemini, which means you love to talk. You are a quintessential communicator. The guy can't stop. Just his job this life is to give words to the human condition. Your job this life was to come here and put words for us into the vulnerable state of the human.
I mean, that's why I love the podcast. That's literally what I do. It's one of my favorite things to do. All my videos are videos. It's not really that much. I mean, I do write, but I really have a passion for speaking. Yeah, for sure.
We don't have a good connection, and I don't know why that is. Did we just break up again?
We did, but we're good now.
But why is that happening?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm in Hawaii. Maybe that's why. I'm far away from the mainstream.
Oh, okay. Where are you at?
I'm on the island of Kauai.
Oh, nice. I stayed on the Big Island for a couple months earlier this year. It's so beautiful out there.
Yeah, and Kauai is a spectacular place. So you were born with the sun on top of the chart on the midheaven, making you have a famous desire to contribute to the planet. It's not fame as much as it is. You are our voice of honest human nature. And with Mars in Gemini and Venus in Gemini, this guy can talk.
I've really done my best to listen as well, though.
I see that. But you were saying, so what happens on your videos? You didn't finish your sentence.
Oh, I just love, just making videos. Just like, I have a message to share pretty consistently, you know?
Yes,
so
you
that
do.
Makes a lot of sense.
That's your purpose here. So this is the function of astrology. You have a very strong appetite for putting words. You're Libra rising. So if you go to what would be 9 o'clock on the clock and it says AC on the outside right there, see the AC? That's your rising sign. That's your soul. And it's an air sign. It's Libra. It's the peacemaker. So you do, and then you've got that Mars and Gemini and Venus and Gemini. So you've got a lot of air. So you do come in this lifetime, you can stop sharing now, with the gift of communicating and doing it from your heart, not just talking about theory, talking about human nature. You are gifted. And the more you disclose yourself, Nick, the more you open up and share your innards and give us permission to understand your human, it speaks to us about our human.
So I got to be vulnerable, huh?
And that's not easy for you, but it's your function. Is that surprising?
No, because every time I do open up, that's when I get the biggest response of people that are like, this really touched me. So that makes sense.
Yes. Your gift is being vulnerable. So write that down. On the podcast with Deborah Silverman on Halloween, I took off my little outfit and I became naked in front of the public. And I'll never forget that podcast because she invited me to be authentic and emotionally available.
I'm putting it in all caps. Yep. There it is. Boom. Okay. So speaking of Halloween, anything in astrology that has to do with Halloween in particular that comes to mind? Well,
there are some beautiful energetics today. It's so unfortunate that the planet is in such distress because we are actually having this beautiful sky. If a baby were born in this next 2-3 week era, there's a grand trine in Earth. We have Jupiter and Uranus and Taurus. We have Pluto and Capricorn, and we have Venus and Virgo. And it's creating such a beautiful energetic of grounded, delicious, sensual pleasure. But who can talk about that while there's war going on? We're in such a strange moment in time. So of course, war eclipses, it trumps the stars, and the human condition interrupts what's available to us from the spiritual realm. We are really victimized right now. We are really in a vulnerable, talk about, I don't, a day doesn't go by that I don't cry. Mm-hmm. For what's occurring on this planet. I can't figure out how any human can read the news and not just let it hit them and go, ow. And that's astrology. Astrology is letting the human condition be acceptable, even when it hurts, but also knowing what you do with your pain body. And you personally need to talk. I'm
that
sure
makes
you
a
know
lot
that.
Of sense. Yes, I do. Yes, I definitely do. But I also am aware that there's a part of that that can be leaning too much into I'm just dumping on other people and not doing my own inner work. So good. I think there's another part of that, you know?
Yes, that's a very good catch. And yes, we have to do our inner work. And one of your functions, because you're born at the top of the day, is you are our voice. You're speaking for all of us. So the more everyone, this is true why I tell people why that I cry every day. I don't want to be an ego or a persona that is lacking humanness. I want people to listen to us in this podcast and go, yeah, my human gets really sad too. And my human is really scared about being emotionally exposed. And my human is really caught because I don't know how to manage my feelings. And then here we go. Inner work. You named it. Go do the work.
So part of that inner work then for you and you know, moving through emotions, what is your process for managing emotions?
There's an old ancient Jewish teacher that I had hundreds of years ago, it feels like. And I was taught, cry for an hour a day, let your emotional body have full permission to be in pain, and the rest of the day go back to joy. So mm-hmm. I don't limit myself on either side. Otherwise, we'll go numb and we'll become crispy and water turns to ice. And if you're not sensitive and melting the ice, you get numb. And then the next thing you know, you're feeling disconnected, or you're feeling lonely, or you're feeling like you are addicted, or you're feeling like you want to escape, which is probably everybody on the whole planet.
Definitely a lot of people. Yeah. So do you feel like there's a difference between how men and women process emotions?
That's a silly question.
Do you think so?
You tell me the answer to that.
Listen, I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I'm just saying, would you give a man a different way to process emotions, like in your own life, compared to a woman? And if so, what would your advice be to men who may be struggling with emotions?
You're the guy to ask, Mr. Cancer on the midheaven. Okay. I bet you've learned. As a man, I couldn't answer this question. As a woman, I am that I don't know. But I know that the male processing mechanism has been stilted and it's uncomfortable, whereas women sit together and we do ceremonies together and we pray together and we cry together and we do yoga together and we sit in circles. I don't know what men do. I wonder if part of the problem of war is a symptom of the shutting down of the emotional fluidity, and that when it finally comes up, it's so pissed off it's going to kill. Like, what is that urge that kills except suppressed emotion? That's really under all anger is sadness. Under all anger is the feeling that wants to say, I am so lonely. I am so sad my brother died. I want to blame you, but I know it's just our human nature and please forgive me. But we don't know how to do the human nature because I think it's men, to your point, that are emotionally untrained. No blame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't necessarily subscribe to, this is me personally, my opinion, the thought process that one, like if a man has a perspective on how he's seen women process emotions successfully, I think we should be able to share that and vice versa. And I don't see it as if like there is a, it's not okay that a woman might say, hey, this is how I've seen men successfully process emotions, or this is what I see problem. Can you, because you've also had plenty of readings, you know, you've had plenty of time and experience with men, I'm sure. So you may know some things that may help. So we've talked plenty about that.
I honestly don't. And I feel bad to say this. I wish I saw that film Barbie and I felt so bad for Ken, because I feel like I don't have the answers. I don't know how men should process. And I don't even think it should be men and women, to your point. It should, gender should go away. But at this point in history, notice it's his story, not her story. The word history is his story. At this point in his story, we've been given a false bill of goods. I don't even understand, why can't men cry? Why were my brothers told to stop crying? Where'd that come from?
It probably came from just like the mental mindset of men trying to survive in the wild. And if they were crying, they weren't able to fight very well. That would be my speculation.
I think you're right. So it's that primal. It's that primitive. I don't have the answer, but I can tell you, Mr. Cancer, probably the single variable in the name of war at any person you're fighting with is the inability to be emotionally authentic and say, I am so sorry. Did I just hurt you? I am so sorry that just happened to you. Instead of saying, blame, 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 point the finger, shame, 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 all that emotional content is at the source of everything on this planet. You know, this planet should be called water and not, it's blue. But we call it Earth because we're so fixated with money and security and physical reality. But what if we really valued the emotional body? What if I knew the answer to your question? How are men different than women? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think there's just a lot of societal programming that has to do with how men should be compared to women. I think the answer, partly to not go on a tangent, is just simply that it's been more societally acceptable for women to be able to process emotions than it has for men. So a lot of men think they just need to be stoic and get it together versus moving through those emotional turmoil and then realizing that there's strength in letting it go, which you can't let it go unless you actually feel into it. And so I think there's just not a lot of people talking about it. And it's just about who's talking the loudest is really where we're at. You know?
Yes. So in astrology, there's four elements. There's water, air, earth, and fire. And I wrote a book called The Missing Element. So you get to figure out which one's missing. But the more important thing is water is the first element. And it is the emotional body, Mr. Cancer. And it's having some sophistication to know how to process, which no one ever taught us. And then air, the second element, is talking and communicating, which we're much better at. We ask really good questions. We get really engaged. We're leaning in. This is a great podcast. I'm so interested. The air element is our specialty on planet Earth. However, we can say shit that's not true. I call it MSU, making shit up. It's a university lots of people went to, and they just make shit up all day. That's air gone crazy. And then there's earth. And earth are the people that are grounded and they're stable and they're good with money and they make food and they know how to garden and they know how to do spreadsheets and they go to Costco and they buy a lot of cleaning supplies and they get off on it because it feels so good. Those earth people get stuck. Think about earth, rocks. They get stuck and they feel very burdened by responsibility as compared to the air people who are the airheads who are making shit up, who are entertaining themselves by the hours, who are talking on podcasts. And the water person's like, I don't know. I'm scared. I'm feeling emotional. I don't want to tell anyone. I think I'm going to stay home and smoke a joint. Mm-hmm. And then the last category is fire, which is what I am. And they're the ones that are physical and athletic and they're loud and they're obnoxious and they're know-it-alls and they have this incredible sense of humor and everything's funny until it's not. And then they get pissed off. And fire people, they fire people, they get pissed off. And it's the part in all of us that has anger and or passion. So we can't live without those four elements. They're essential to this reality. And in astrology, the whole system is based on the four elements.
Right, because you have your karma through elements, right? That you do?
Yes.
And that I was really fascinated by that because I think part of the karma through elements that you're doing, from my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is about something that I didn't really think about. When there's people looking at astrology, I don't usually think about the word karma associated with astrology. Maybe it's just my smooth brain. It could be because I'm not an adept at this point in it. So Yeah, I'd love to hear a little bit about how, you know, you intertwine those two, because I think they're both really important, astrology and karma, in certain respects.
Oh, no, that's a whole, you're absolutely right. The whole definition of really good astrology is I can look at your chart and tell you your karma. And I can give you information that will allow you to fulfill your purpose. Those are the two words that matter the most in this life, karma and purpose. You know, second only to the word love, but let's start with karma. So if I look at someone's chart and I go, uh-oh, this isn't an easy chart. This person came in this lifetime to eat up some karma, to finish some, or, oh, wow, look at this chart. This is a lucky, I just did this yesterday. This is the luckiest chart I've ever seen. You find your mate, you have your children, you have your career, you have this amazing body, you live in this, like some people came in, they cashed in this life, and that is right there in the chart.
Hmm. Okay. So what, it was my chart?
Well, you have,
is it karma?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay.
The challenge of your chart is that you've got this hypersensitivity that you get self-conscious about.
Hmm. Interesting.
Everything we're talking about, your challenge is you are a very strong leader. You can never be passive. You have a get up and go energy. You want to help people and make sure you get it done. You're never going to sit idle. You got little wiggles. You wiggle a lot. You got that Mars and Venus and Gemini and Saturn and Aries. And
I do
the challenge. You wiggle. The challenge in your chart is emotional honesty. You really got to practice how to be authentic, emotionally available. So what are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty open. I mean, I'm just present. I feel pretty flow in this moment. So yeah, I wouldn't say that there's anything particularly, I'm just like in the moment. I feel like when I'm filming podcasts, I try to not come in with too many preconceived notions of where the conversation should go. So I'm just like, so I try to be so present that I'm not like, I don't like the podcast where there's interviews. It feels like an interview. You know, I want to get in there. So when you ask me, how do I feel right now? I don't even know how I feel right now, because I'm not even like, I'm just here, you know?
That's a very honest answer. I don't know how I feel right now. It's more honest. That's what I'm talking about. So your challenge this life is to put your hand on your belly, to put your hand on your heart and ask yourself and wait until your emotional body speaks honestly. In astrology, Cancer, the sign that you are, I think it's so funny that it's the name of a disease. Who made that up? Is the challenge sign. They are the most challenged sign. The Dalai Lama is a double Cancer. Because they have to deal with this human condition, which is, I'll tell you what I'm feeling right now. I'm a little bit excited because we're talking about my favorite topics. I'm a little bit sad because we touched that topic. It never goes away, the feeling of what's going on in the Middle East. I seem to have it follow me around. I'm really kind of tickled at your innocent interest in astrology. And I'm feeling like this podcast has the means to assist other people to ask themselves, what am I feeling? And that is such an important question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is the authentic, in astrology, the whole point of astrology and every one of your practices, the gene keys or the human design, is to get you in your skin, fully embodied, essentially alive. And if it doesn't activate you and get you excited and you feel like something's really cool going on and you're so excited because you're finally getting back to yourself, and that was the best conversation I've had. If that's not happening, you're not having a real astrology session or a real human design. You should finish those sessions. You just spent a whole hour talking about who you are at the deepest level. What is more important? And in your case, particular for Nick, is your invitation by your chart is to walk into those feelings and stay put and find words for your human authentic self. So that was funny asking you what you were feeling, because you really didn't know.
So what I am feeling is that I understand the consequences of the strategy I've chosen, and it brings me a sense of unease and a sense of whateverness at the same time, because the strategy that I've chosen is, when I learn about new things, I try to come at it from a place of beginner, almost on purpose, so that if someone who also doesn't know, they can start with me, and it feels more like a journey rather than like a I tried to cram for an exam to try and learn about astrology or something like that. So I just understand that I might be considered, you know, dumb in this area, and I'm just coming to terms with that. And I think that that's okay. I'm just letting that sit within my body.
That was so honest. That was so honest. See, that's what I'm talking about. You become our voice to speak to the unspeakable and say the emotional content that makes it okay for us to be authentic and transparent. And I would never expect you to know astrology. And by the way, I've been studying it for almost 50 years. It's a beautiful, timeless, endless, unbelievable doorway, astrology is. I'm so in love with it. It gives me the art of compassion to understand people. Like in this moment, I see your Gemini and your Libra, and I just saw you touch your Cancer. And I have like a little tag system when someone's talking. I see their chart. I wish it was tattooed on their forehead. I've always wished everybody had their chart on their forehead.
Life would be easier, wouldn't it?
So much easier. And then you'd be able to understand, oh, this person's not talking. They have no air in their chart. That's okay, they're not talking. Or this person is so cleaning up everything and organizing everything and telling us what to do. Of course they're the Capricorn in the room. And then you would just feel so good.
That makes a lot of sense. I feel like it'd be too easy then, wouldn't it, though? That's the fun of the game, isn't it? It's a double-edged sword.
It's when you asked what I see. In the future, I see a planet where spirituality is part of the mainstream. It's not called New Age. It'll be like just part of the normal thing. Oh, I know your chart. So when you're a little kid and you come to me and I see Nick, I give him a hug because he's a Cancer and I know he needs to be touched.
That is kind of also part of what my goal is here with the Universe the Game, is that there's so many people afraid to talk about a lot of these topics. And my goal is to kind of take this more into a mainstream direction where people who might have considered it to be, oh, this is, you know, a bunch of dumb stuff. Like, that doesn't even make any sense or anything. And we can just, like, stop that. Actually try the system. Actually experiment with people who have studied it for a while. Not just, like, you're a gift shop astrologer who your friend let you know was kind of cool. Sit with someone who knows what they're doing and see if it actually works. And so, yeah, part of my goal here is for people to experiment. Genuinely experiment and see what comes out of it. And like you said, if it improves your life, if you're really genuinely honest, coming in with no, you know, attachments of like, this isn't going to work, but I'm going to try it anyways. No, actually be genuine, try it out and see what happens. And that's how I live my life, is does it add value to my life? Am I genuinely open to it adding value? And let me try it. And if it works, then let's go, you know?
And I do a process called matchmaking where people write to our to info@DeborahSilverman Astrology. And they say, I want a reading. And then I have 22 astrologers that I've trained who are rigorously trained. And then you can guarantee that you'll come for a session, to your point. Do an experiment. You've never had a reading before. You don't know what astrology is. Take a chance. And then after that hour's over, you're like, she knew me better than my mom did. How did that even happen? And it feels so good.
Yeah, link for that will be in the description. I know there's going to be some people that are like, okay, let me try this out then. All right. So, yeah, if you want to get your readings, this is definitely the best place to do it. And exactly.
And also a school. I have a school. The other cool thing, Nick, and there's one, it's so funny because I have 30 mentors that teach my class, and there's one man, and his name is Nick. They're all women in my company, but I'm so happy Nick is there. And he came to me when he was, I'm going to say he was 14, 15 years old, and he's now a professional astrologer. That's what he does for a living. He does very well. And it is a school where I teach. Twice a year it happens, in January and in August. So that's the only time the school opens. And people come, you should study it. It's a 6-week class once a week on Zoom with just 10 people in the room. So it's very intimate. And you learn your chart. You study your own chart in order to access the... So is this real? You would know if it resonates with you. And there's a money-back guarantee. So if you don't feel like the class really worked, you let me know.
And that's applied astrology, right? That's what you're talking about?
Exactly. And I can't tell you, Nick, it's so crazy. I get gifts sent in the mail and I get love letters of how many people's lives have changed once they figured out who they were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the next question that I have is really just a very curious about your insight into, you know, I know that you've been doing astrology and you chose that path. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are exposed to all the systems. And is there anything that you feel like that's coming to you in this moment of how someone can choose between all of them? Do you feel like astrology, will it just call to you? Because that's how I've seen it. It's like people will just feel called to it. Is that what you see in your case? Or, yeah, I'm curious.
Well, I think the hard part is people think learning astrology is very complicated. It seems like a giant, and it is the oldest science on earth. And it does include memorization, but it's not hard. And so when you're thinking about, I think the gene keys are hard. I find it very confusing. I mean, mm-hmm. I find it interesting, and it really helped me to see my numbers and where I was. I find human design really helpful on these very special. In fact, it's funny. Nick, the guy that teaches astrology for our school, is both a human design and an astrologer. So they work together. And to answer your question, if something's calling your name and you're a beginner, try everything. Do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that. And then tell me, I'd love to hear, which one of them made impact? Because the reason I call my school Applied Astrology, it's not theory. It's applied.
And there it is. So this is a question, maybe a little bit more intense, but I'm just curious. Having studied it for so long, I feel like there might be something here that I don't know. How do you feel like astrology has been used for good, or how do you feel like astrology has been used for evil throughout our human history? Are there any examples that come to you in particular?
When someone walks up to me and they hand me their chart with this terrible grimace on their face and they go, the last astrologer said I was never going to have children, I was never going to get married. Will you look? And I'm like, that's evil. Don't tell somebody a limited belief system and stick it super glue in their head because you're the astrologer, really? That's evil. On the flip side, they come to see me and they say that and I go, excuse me, let's change that whole story. And then they call me a year later saying they're pregnant. So, and they, you know, they got married or whatever. So it doesn't require, it's unfortunate that astrologers become all seers, all intuitives, all psychics. That's why I'm so reluctant to your point. Where's the really good ones that are living a life that I want to live? I do that. I pay attention to my practitioner. I pay attention to their health. If someone's big and unhealthy and they don't have and they're teaching me about nutrition, beep. If somebody's giving me astrology advice and I can see they're living a life of beauty, what did they learn that I need to learn? I ask myself. So pay attention to your practitioner. And then this is why Nick picked, you know, why we did this podcast, because he's looking for quality control, because he's got his sun on the top of his chart. He's got his sun in the midheaven. And he's a leader that wants to have the real thing. And, you know, I don't know, how do you know if you're the real thing? You bite the rock. How do you know if you're the real thing? It took me a long time.
You know if you're the real thing? Go ahead.
You finished. You know you're the real thing if
people tell you that you're genuinely giving them value. If people respond to you in a positive way, if you have people that respond. And all you can do before then is do your best to reach your highest potential. And if you can genuinely say in your heart that you're doing that, that's all you can do. 100%. And that's all I would say. Yeah.
That's exactly true. And I can confidently say, and it took me, I was, you know, astrology has no certification program. And I was never associated with other astrologers. So for at least half of my career, I was secretly doing readings every day. I don't do them anymore. I'm now training people, but I did them every day, hour after hour. And then I realized I didn't know if I was good. To your point, like, unless you get feedback, you're just doing it in a vacuum. And then as the celebrities and the people came to me, the mothers and the children that said that helped me so much, I went, oh, I'm getting reflection. And it took years before I felt confident. You and I both have that. That's your moon in Taurus. I'm a little reluctant to feel confident until I really know it for real. And we're both cautious until things are hard and real. That's moon. That's your Taurus moon. And my Mercury and Taurus, I have to like know I've made a difference in someone's life and see the evidence, not just talk woo, 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 woo.
It's easy to word salad, isn't it? I see so many people doing that.
It's so true. Yeah. Word salad. That's so true. I want to see the application, practical results. You finish the session and you've got instructions. You've got a takeaway. You have an insight and you're like, how is this? I feel so much better about myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So continuing on that point of good and evil, I'm using that in the sense of a metaphor, right? Because there's, I think in truth, they're really, that, those are just labels, but I'm using those labels to help us to just understand the question, really. You know, I think in the end of the day, non-duality is truly the answer, that we all are part of the same thing. So it's just aspects of that. So I want to make that clear. And another part of asking that question is do you feel like astrology has been distorted over time? Or do you feel like it's been kept pretty?
No, I think it's such a good question. There is a superficial astrology that needs to be the beginning because everybody starts off superficial, right? We're just beginners. And then there's the quality control when it becomes rich and thorough and practical. I don't know. I have such a high value for practicality. So there's a lot of people that have used astrology jargon. And I swear to you, I don't even understand it. I listen to them and I'm like, uh-oh, if I don't understand it, how is anyone? And I pride myself on speaking English.
I've said that too, as I can't do it. I can't just like change words to sound smarter, just like for my own ego. It's what a lot of people do. Or just they think that it, for some reason, it's going to be received better if they're saying it different. It's like, okay, let's keep it simple. If anyone can understand it, I think that, you know, there's been multiple masters that have said that, you know, there's quotes, I can't remember who said it, but there's quotes about it needs to be able to be understood by a 5-year-old for it to be true wisdom or something like that, or a 10-year-old or someone.
I love that so much. Yes, that's Taurus. That's your moon in Taurus. That's my Mercury in Taurus. I have learned to make astrology less jargon, more impactful. And there's a lot of astrologers out there that when I finish talking, I swear to you, I'm not kidding. I'm confused. I get confused and I'm an astrologer. So the question is, wild. Do they speak English? Is it applicable? Did it shift my nervous system? Did I have instructions to actually change something? Or to accelerate something? Like, what did I learn in my session?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very true.
And we have some great astrologers on my team. I just gave somebody a suggestion because that's what I do. I do matchmaking, as I said. People send me their information and then I hook them up to the right astrologer. And she wrote me this morning and said, I've never felt so seen. And that's what we long for. As an astrology session, you should finish and go, oh, I feel so seen. The best feeling. It's like what you get with your best friend.
That's what it's about. If it elevates you, there it is, right? And I just have a random question that's coming to my head. I have astrologer friends that have said to me that you can tell someone's crazy in their chart by looking at their chart. Is that true? Like, can you tell their craziness, what particularly they're crazy about in their chart? They are crazy?
No one's ever asked me that question, but it's so true. You can tell if somebody's logic, if their thought process, because it's Mercury, has been twisted, and so they can't sustain actual practical linear thoughts. They go off beat. They do the word salad. They free associate, and then you're left with, wait, what'd you just say? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to name names, but there's politicians that you can listen to, and you go, wait, what did they just say? And that's when you know that's crazy. Crazy is a non-linear thought process that is self-serving. In the name of distraction, confusion, ego, when the mind is self-serving, we're on the wrong street.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah,
that's an interesting thought. When your mind is self-serving, it's on the wrong street. When the mind is in service to the other, in service to wisdom, in service to learning, in service to service, then the mind is like, oh, I have a function here. But if it's self-serving, your ego. And it's spinning you into negative self-talk. And it's got you wrapped up in negativity and fear. And it's got your nervous system all jacked up and you're anxious. That's a mind that is not being organized or governed by a soulful, wise one. And that's called crazy.
And by the way, it is true.
By the way, we're all a little crazy. Everyone's got to admit it, that sometimes my mind does not have my best interests and talks shit about me.
Why do you think that happens?
It's a bad design.
Who designed it?
It's not a good design. What?
Who designed it?
It was the original creators that they were so tired after they did the astrology. They mastered the 12 personalities. That they had a bad day.
And now it all makes sense. I've been waiting to understand. Okay. How do you see, so, you know, you're on the Universe Game podcast, and part of this podcast is really exploring how the universe could potentially be a game and all of that and what comes along with that. If the universe was a game, how would you see astrology fitting into that?
It is the best backdrop. If you wanted some good art and you wanted a game that had beauty and had distinctions and 12 flavors that was universal, what a perfect entrance. Walk into this matrix, study it, and you will understand the game here.
Interesting. Do you feel like astrology takes away free will, or do you feel like it just kind of adds a flavor to free will? What's your perspective on that? Because this podcast will come out after. I actually just had a conversation with someone about free will, the whole podcast. So I'm just curious how you see that.
What was the person's point of view on the podcast? I'm curious.
He was arguing against the Sam Harris and Sapolsky that are saying that we don't have free will. So he wrote a book arguing that we do, in fact, have free will. Yeah, so that's what it's about.
You can choose what you're going to drink right now. You can choose what you're going to say right now. But 95% of this reality operates with the unconscious. So as a result of that, when you get jealous, you're out of the free will zone. When you get depressed and it's chemical, you're out of the free will zone. It's a chemical game. When you chose your first wife or first husband because you fell in love with that chemical called falling in love, you were out of the free will zone. Now, can you get divorced? Can you decide a different thought? Can you wake up inside the dream? Yes. But there is no free will on a lot of factors that come to this existence. So it's a cross game. And as an astrologer, what I know for sure is there is a very strong hand of fate that determined that you would have the name Nick and that you would be a Cancer. All these things were written. However, the level of consciousness, the decision to study, the decision to eat healthy, the decision to exercise, that's all free will. But not
so
the heart,
said something.
The body type, the parents you got, the city you were born into, the religion you came into, all of that was written.
Do you feel like there's pre-written events that happen during our life?
100%.
Is that predictable with astrology?
I had a dream in the middle of the night. I woke up with a nightmare with sweat all over the bed because I just saw an accident and my son was in it. And the next morning, the exact thing happened.
I had a dream that I was in the future and came into the simulation and this was a simulation. So does that mean that this is a simulation?
This is a simulation.
Yeah.
This is a simulation. No one wants to talk about it. This is a simulation. Someone's having a dream. Now, does it include you evolving inside their dream? Yes. But don't get fooled that this is not a simulation. Well, why would people for 1 minute think that this is, as Einstein said, God was not playing with dice. This is not random. However, the simulation is a benevolent, this is my fantasy, I'm making this up, is a benevolent, loving creature. It's a team of them, as a matter of fact. And they're watching us laughing, going, oopsie, I think we gave them too much free will. Oh my God, they went the wrong street.
So what do they do now?
They're just going to watch us unwind and do we have an expiration date? Everything does. We are at the end of a movie. Nothing's wrong. We're giving birth to another version of us. It may include AI. It may be unrecognizable to the mind. I don't know. But what I do know is you're very loving. I'm very loving. Someone listening to this is very loving. That's what matters most.
So I feel like that right there, that point is about what we can and can't control, right?
Right. Yeah, I am so in love with the color blue that I put it all over my room. I am so in love with my kids that I fly them everywhere. I am so in love with my bicycle, I ride it every single day. Follow your love.
And you can only do that by like focusing on the micro, right? Focusing on the micro of life, which is your life.
Little things, I put it on my necklace. Deciding what your chart is one big giant step, because once you understand what you came to do and the karma and what you love the most, it becomes a much more relaxed story because we're in a simulation. Nobody wants to talk about it. I'm surprised. I'm shocked, delightfully shocked that you said that, that your dream. Tell me the dream.
Well, you know, when you say that we're in a simulation, that's what I mean by universe the game, that we're in a game, we're in a virtual reality game that is this type of simulation. I'm not one to say that we are all AI, because when we say simulation theory, a lot of the origination of that came from AI-based thinking, as if humans are AIs. So that's where I differ from simulation theory. So that's a distinction I just want to make. My dream was like 5 seconds long. It was essentially just me in the future. I don't even remember how I knew this or why I woke up thinking this, but I saw a friend in the dream, and it was like we were getting in a capsule, and then I woke up, and I'm like, that was in the, I knew, I had this knowing that it was in the future, and I don't know why. I don't know how, but it was as if that thought was implanted in my brain, just like Sound of Silence, right? And it's just there. So it was, I would love to be able to sit here and say, man, I saw the future. Look at that. It looks so cool. Look at what. Nah, it was pretty boring. It was just that. That was pretty much it.
That's brilliant. I love that story. We're going to end with that. The future is waiting for you. It's a beautiful story. It's going to be about 90 miles east of here. Just kidding. The future is beautiful. It's waiting for you. The masters and the ones that are in the non-dualistic world don't make it wrong that there's a simulation. There's nothing to be right and wrong in this existence. This truth wisdom is emotional authenticity, being real as a human while you're here. Feeling your feelings and managing and navigating through that unbelievable water world that we live in. That's the nature of this reality. And asking this question every single day, who can I serve? How can I be of help? This is so you. What can I do to be of value to the other? That's all I say every single day. Who can I make smile? Who can I give something to that would make their day? You know what I do? I give really, really big tips and they don't know it's me. I just, like the other day I was in LA and the guy was doing rap and I just snuck a little $100 bill in his pocket. He didn't even know.
Wow.
You know how good that feels?
There's a chemical reaction in your body, I think, with serotonin when you do that, right?
100%. So back to my point. Do your homework. Go study. Get a reading. Continue listening to podcasts. They're the best thing to keep the mind alert. And then ask this question the first thing in the morning. Who can I serve today?
And there it is. All right. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast. I very much have enjoyed our conversation. And the last question I want to ask you is very simply, what do you got going on right now? What do you want to share with people? Like, what are the most important thing happening in your sphere right now? If there's anything.
I'm starting to launch. School starts in January. We're getting all excited about the launch. We're going to have an immersion with some very interesting people. I have a free 5-day immersion. So come look at my website. I'm writing a book. I'm in the middle of it. It's called I Don't Believe in Astrology. Because everybody says they don't believe in astrology. It's so funny. Every time I say it, it's so funny. And the first chapter is You're Fucked Up and I Still Like You.
Okay. Let's go. When will that book be out?
Not till 2025, till your Saturn return.
Okay, great. Well, you know what? We will have everything that's relevant for you that's going on for now, when that time comes, we'll change the description so people can find that book. Because when that book comes out, we need to read the book. I will read it immediately. So, yeah, the links for everything will be in the description. And then that'll do it. We'll see you in the next episode.